Lord have done. Conjure blessings, say them one by one. Conjure blessings, see what God has done. Conjure blessings, name them one by one. Conjure many blessings, see what God has done. Are you
Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fishhooks. Ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel, and transgress as Gilgal, multiply transgressions, and bring your sacrifice every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish pre-offer. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in your cities, and want of bread in your places. Ye have not yet returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withhold the rain from you. And there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, and your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer were before them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up upon your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. You have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God over Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind, and declares unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Amen.
Amen. Chapter, thank you. A good chapter. There's just one thing that I wouldn't agree with. If it says, "Come to Bethel and transgress," we don't want you to be doing that. Definitely not. Come to Bethel and be good, not transgress. But anyway, again, another sad indictment of the people that were supposed to be following God and weren't following God. But there you go. That's what happens. Amen. I want to remind everybody of the little green prayer list. Please make sure you get one. And if you get an opportunity, please do take a moment. And you're allowed to pray to God with your eyes open. Unless you have a photographic memory, you're not going to remember all of the items on the prayer list. But please do pray. Pray for these, if you would. There are private prayer requests as well. Does anybody want to stick their hand up and let me know that they still have private prayer requests? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody have anything else they want to add to this? Yes, indeed. What was that, Mom? Well, it's having a problem with a blocked ear. Please do pray for that. I asked him where it was, and he said it was right here. Please do pray for him. I would also ask him, but please do pray for the John Henry family. I think they had a run-in with 2 or 3 pastors ago in this church, and it left them with a sour taste in their mouth. We would ask that you would pray for the John Henry family at this time. We're glad to have John back with us, although he's not back. He's always been here, sort of a thing. He's back at work full time and working shifts. Are you still on the lookout for other work? So please do pray for John and his family, and especially his working situation. And we're always glad to have the folks in. Anybody got any thanks they want to add to our thanks list? Norman.
Thanks for prayer answered this week.
Yes, indeed. Amen.
Good.
Just in case you didn't hear me whenever I was joking about the jam and the scones outside, there's a pot of jam and a bag of scones for anybody that wants one. Please make sure you do. Grab whatever on your way out. It's far too much for me to eat. I'm expecting some support in this regard, so make sure to take at least one and enjoy them this afternoon. Probably the scones will be best eaten fresh, and the jam, well, it'll last for a long time, so please take one and enjoy it. There's also a couple of boxes of chocolates out there. Please take, if you are interested, please take them and have them gone. The jam was Monica's, the scones are Will's mum, and the chocolates came from John there, and they're not there because he wants them back. Because any of us want them back. They're there to be disposed of in the appropriate manner. Amen. So please make sure and take those. I think that's about that, isn't it? Nothing else? That's good. All right. Well, if you would like to do the honours for us and just have a word of prayer for us there, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for loving you, for your suffering, for your great grace, our Lord. Lord, say so, mighty part, Lord, may you put you in your place, even today, the Sabbath, the Holy Sabbath day, Lord. You reveal yourself, you sinners on the backs of us, Lord. Say so, mighty part, mighty put you in your place, for this land, and for this world. But Lord, pray for your trusted people, the Israelis, Lord. Say the mighty part, Lord, draw them back to you, Lord. And say the mighty part, Lord. Also, with the churches are preached by godly men throughout this world, Lord, even today, Lord, that you might work through them through the touch of the Holy Spirit, Lord. You reflect those our loss and those that need you, Lord. Everybody needs you, Lord, needs your Son, Lord. And say so, mighty part, Lord. Give up to the brother, wherever they may be. Give Frank, keep safe and well, Lord. Strong, close to work for the Israel, Lord. Also, give Frank, call him wherever he is, to look for natural, Lord. And also, bring him back to yourself as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, with Stephen, Pat, Lord, bring Pat back, Lord, and also give Steve, Lord, help my name powerfully, aid them and give them strength, Lord, and heal them as well, Lord. Also, with John Bradford, save him, Lord, and Lord, we offer my steady walks, my Lord. Be with us this day, Lord, and may we see a blessing, Lord, in our lives, Lord, and Lord, prepare us a new Christ-centered week, Lord, love strength, Lord, Lord, and may we see the work in our lives, fully honored, fully with these Christ, take it away.
Amen. Thank you, Will. We are going to be in the big books, number 2, if you would like to take and turn. It's very near the start, so it's easy to find. Hymn number 2, glory to his name. We're going to remain seated as we sing this hymn. We haven't sung for a bit of time in the church, but let's get over there. Glory to his name, number 2.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to him.
We are going to finish off our first part of our singing with number one in the wee black books. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing "How Great Thou Art." Let's make a joyful noise. Hymn number one in the wee black books, "How Great Thou Art." Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, just after the halfway point in the Word of God. I'm heading towards the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 14. I just want to read about 10 or 11 verses of this portion of God's Word. I want to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of saving and healing. Saving and healing. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 4. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I know there's sometimes even, believe it or not, even myself, I don't want to be here. The world, the flesh, and the devil gives us all a hard time and throws up many obstacles to us being out in God's house. You probably have no idea how many battles you win just to sit in church this morning. But it's good to see you. Isaiah 14, beginning at verse number 4. The Word of God says, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Amen. You're taking verse number 14, the last seven words there. The thought of the devil's heart and, of course, many other people's hearts, that I will be like the Most High. I will be God. We're talking about healing and saving. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom that we still have to meet together, to worship and to praise you. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would bless this time in your presence. We really do need you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for all that you have done in laying out your plan to save men's souls, and, Lord, inserting yourself into our lives, Lord, and speaking to us and reasoning with us. And I pray you, Lord, please, even now, in these last of the last days, that souls would listen and accept your Son as Savior and turn away from their sins. Please help us even now, Lord, to see and to hear and to understand these words that have been written all those thousands of years ago. And, Lord, we're just dependent upon you. Thank you for loving us and for saving us. Thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for all of your ministrations and blessing. Lord, there's far too many, and we couldn't keep a track of them, Father, but thank you for it. Lord, we ask all of these things. We ask for those that are listening on the internet and in the privacy of their own homes, Lord, for your good hand upon each of us as we take this time in your name. and bless the teachers and preachers of your word across the world this day. Amen. 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 This is, I am sure we've been in this verse and refer to it from time to time. Over the last few months, we have spoken from it at least once or twice. And it is a little bit of an insight into what's going to happen at the end of the world when everything is consumed with fire, when the Lord makes new heavens and a new earth and the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. And it gives us the end of all of those that consider themselves to be gods in their own minds, or even try to be gods in this world. The end result, no matter how grand it says thy pomp is brought down, this hasn't happened yet, this is going to happen. Happen in about 1,000 years, give or take. It's all going to come to nothing. Even Lucifer, the covering cherub, the most beautiful of the archangels, that looked good and sounded good and covered the throne of God and the glory of God reflected through all of the precious jewels and the gold that he was adorned with, he said, "You've fallen. You've fallen from heaven. You're cut down to the ground. For all of your might and your power, for everything that was given to you, you've just become like everybody else." And the reason for it is because you want to be God and you don't have it in you. Now, Lucifer is beyond redemption. The Bible has written the end of Lucifer the archangel, the devil, that old dragon, that serpent that has been causing trouble since there were people put in the world. There's no saving in him. He's the worst of losers. He knows he's going to lose, and he knows why he's going to lose, and he can't say anything but, "Yes, I am going to lose." But he is entirely prepared to take as many people with him as possible to hell and to the lake of fire. That's one good reason for not listening to him and for opening your Bible and reading it and believing what the Bible actually says there. But the grand design of Lucifer was to be God, to be an alternative God. You may have noticed from some of the hymns that we are singing that we praise God here. We glorify God. We thank him for all of the things that only he could do. That's what we're supposed to do. And not just in church, but every day of our lives. We should be thanking God. I think it gives it in the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we tell him all of these things that he already knows, but that we need to remind ourselves about, so that we understand that we are not on a level playing field with God. We are like his children. And I don't know if anyone remembers back when checks were much more plentiful. I remember wanting my mum and dad to write me a check and thinking that this was magic money. That you'd write the check and wherever the check goes to, that's it, and you don't have to worry about money. That those are the thoughts of a child. But the thoughts of parents are much higher and more aware of the way, the things that need to be done to keep the wheels turning in the world. And of course, gods are much higher again. I'm not so worried about writing a check for some groceries, but the atoms being held together, the state of men's souls, and the understanding that the state that a man's soul is in whenever he steps off into eternity is the state of that man's soul through the endless ages of eternity. In fact, only the Lord could know these things. I have seen, has anyone ever heard of an electron microscope or an electron micrograph? I can't recall. Do you ever see some of those pictures of the little atoms stacked in rows and like steps of stairs sometime? And we think, we are able to see 400 atoms all stacked together when the Bible says that God is before all things, and by him all things consist. I think it may have been Oppenheimer, maybe it was Einstein, might have been Oppenheimer. Whenever the atom bomb went off, whenever they broke the bonds between the atoms and released the tiniest amount of that power. And that power was so destructive when it was left unharnessed and uncommanded that it utterly wiped out Nagasaki and Hiroshima at the end of World War II. All of these things the Lord knows. He knows where all of the atoms are. He knows what keeps the planets spinning around the sun and all the galaxies or all the solar systems in this universe almost like a complex dance together, with none of them seemingly crashing into any other. The Lord made all of these great things. And that's wonderful. But in the words of the immortal bard, what about me? Many years ago, I had a very contentious boss. Very contentious. He knew I was a born-again Christian, and he would go to great trouble sometimes to needle me and to give me a hard time. And our work structure had been very informal for, I think, for the first 10 years that I worked at Desmond's, but it was being structured. And I was informed that in 6 months, my work, my job would be up for review. And that didn't happen at the end of 6 months, but I loved my work and I kept working. At the end of a year, nothing happened. I went in and knocked the door. And I said, "David, is it not about time I had my job review?" And he said, "There are other people in the company." Do you know what I said to him? "I'm only interested in me, David. I'm not here to check other people's job reviews. I'm interested in me." And what goes on in the Bible directly affects us. And we should be interested in how it affects us. The Word of God says that he knows the number of hairs on all of our heads. He knows that. The most trivial piece of information about you and I, God knows. Not for some nefarious purpose, but because he loves us. He knows the length of our days. That's a fairly important thing, isn't it? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, there is a day. The Word of God even tells us he knows what's going on in our hearts and minds, and we're going to be judged on those things. If we're lost, those things will be wheeled out for the whole of creation to see, and if we're saved, they're tied in a bag and thrown over behind the Lord's back into a sea of forgetfulness. The Lord knows. He knows everything that we've done. The Bible says we will give account of every idle word. One of the best examples of that, if anyone remembers, the account of the woman at the well, who'd had 5 husbands and was living with a fella. She was on her own at the well because none of the other women would associate with her. And he said to her, "You've got 5 husbands. You've had 5 husbands. The man you're living with now is not your husband." And she was stunned by this because this stranger knew all about her. And she ran and told all the men of the city, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah?" And even as we sit and we think that we're wonderful, that same God reminds us, "Hold on a wee second, you used to be like that. You used to be a sinner. You used to need me to tell you all of the things that you've done wrong so that you could be saved from them, so that you could realize you're in trouble." As we mentioned already, the entire universe is only held together by the power of his word. And everything in this universe except you and me does what God tells them to do. Remember the demons in the Bible? God commanded them, even though they'd set their faces against them, God commanded them and they obeyed. The animals in the Bible, mostly the fish, those poor fish, had to keep hopping into nets and onto hooks. God commanded them and they did just exactly what he said. The weather on a number of occasions, storms were calmed at a word from the man that created them, just like that. The earth itself, if you cast your mind back to Moses' day, when the pretenders to run the children of Israel through the desert, the earth opened up and they all went down into it, all the pretenders. The earth obeyed straight away. The water, how many times did the water, the seas open up for the children of Israel to pass over? The waters came down from heaven and flooded the earth in Noah's day. Even life and death are commanded by God. This is the same God that has a listening ear for you and me, for all of his children at any time of the day or night. He's the commander in chief of the 12 legions of angels that he has at his disposal, those that are sent to minister to little children and to you and I that are saved. He is the provider of blessings, the answerer of prayers. He's the giver of good gifts. He's the forgiver of sins. And he's the savior of anybody that will ask him. Anybody. He's the provider of a peace that passeth all understanding. God is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he, when he makes a promise, he means it, Christian, to you, that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, and he will never cast you out. And that is only the things that came to mind when I was writing these down. If you checked your Bible, you would say, well, God does this too. And I know that. God loves us. He alone can do all of these things at the same time for us if we need it. You might need one thing. You might need an answered prayer from God now. Somebody else might need the rain to fall or the sun to shine in a different part of the world. God can do not just both of those, but any and all of those. And this is what God had to say to us. This is what Jesus had to say to us. He says, you shouldn't swear by your head, because you can't turn one hair black or white. Obviously, he didn't know about the ladies and their bottles of hair dye and bleach blondes and one thing and another, but you know what I'm talking about just by thinking about it. And he said in Luke, which of you, just with a thought, can add to his stature one cubit? That's that length there, about 18 inches. That would be handy. None of my trousers would fit anymore, but it would certainly be handy when it come to painting the scenes in Norman's house. A number of times I'm like, I feel like a wee leprechaun having to hop on a bench to reach the ceilings and to reach the round the doors. This is what God said. If ye then are not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? We can't do the things that God can do. We don't have the love for those that hate us to do the things that God can do. There's lots of people standing up and saying they can. Lots of counterfeiting. Goodness, you produce a £20 note and someone will produce a counterfeit for it. I think that a lot of the shops stop accepting 50s because there were a lot of counterfeit 50s about. There's apps and systems learning all they can about you to be like God. And let's be honest, friends. If you put all of your thoughts and your considerations and your desires on the internet, you are literally asking someone somewhere to take advantage of you. Don't ever do that. There's many an organization looking to control you. The banks are making a play for it right now whenever they're getting rid of cash and moving to credit. There's even many a promise that you can be God. The Mormon Church would have you believe that someday you will be a God on your own planet. Honky bonky, great. By the way, The angel that came to visit Joseph Smith was called Moroni. And I honestly believe that is the old plural of moron. So something just to bear in mind there. Even many of the churches, and just because this is Bethel Baptist Church does not mean we are faultless, but many of the churches, they only give lip service to the praising and the thanking of God and the preaching of the gospel. Lip service. And people go home believing not what they hear for an hour on a Sunday morning, but what they hear every hour of every day when they turn the radio on or their internet station or their films or TVs or whatever. They believe the same lie that the devil got in his head, that he will be like God. And unfortunately, they're going to come to the same end. This is what God had to say. There is a little verse of scripture in the Bible that says, ye are gods. This is it's in Isaiah 41. Produce your cause, saith the Lord, and bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things, what they may be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know your gods. In other words, if you think you're gods, do the things that God can do, and let's see it. No one ever said, just believe me because I said so. Well, people do, but God didn't say, just because I said so, believe me. He said, look at my works, and believe that I am God. My goodness. The next verse says, show us the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know we are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you're nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. In other words, if you believe a false god, if you refuse Jesus Christ as your Savior, you make yourself filthy to God, and you won't get into heaven. So before we let any god, any organization or institution run our lives and control our thoughts and believe the same lie as them, let them demonstrate their godhood. Let them show me. What's the show me state? Isn't there a show me state? Missouri, they call it the show me state. It must be full of cynics or critics or something, I don't know. But I'm like that. If you say, Mark, I've discovered a new exercise whereby I'll be able to leap over the roof of the church, and it doesn't involve kryptonite or a red cape, honest. I would say, show me. And if you leaped over a church when I was watching you, well then I would believe you. And I would start doing that exercise, because who doesn't want to be able to leap over a church? Show me. Let them demonstrate. Let them demonstrate their sacrifice, their provision, their help, their power, their forgiveness. When was the last time you went to the taxman and said, oh, Mr. Taxman, please forgive me all of my taxes? And the taxman said, of course I'll forgive you. Taxman doesn't do that. The electricity board don't do that. Even the education system, they won't forgive you if you don't do your lessons and produce your homework. You will fail. And it is the same with false gods. Whether it is Baphomet, the one with the horns and the five-pointed downward-pointing star, or whether it's a Presbyterian church, a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Church of Ireland, a Mormon church, Jehovah's Witness, Baptist church, whether it's any church, if they are not able to demonstrate the love of God, or even a wee shadow of it, not to profit themselves, but to help us, well then I'm telling you, they never were part of God, and they're nothing. They're no God that you want to be involved with. And there isn't another God like that in the universe except the God of the Bible. Even this book that we hold in our hands, it wasn't written 2,000 years ago. It was finished about 2,000 years ago. It spans 4,000 years, give or take, previous to that. 6,000 years of history. But it was only finished about 2,000 years ago. There's nothing in this world that can provide and fulfill the promises that God makes, but God. So why do people believe for one second that we and our pride are gods, that my truth is the most important thing in the world, and I will be like the Most High? When a lot of these folks can hardly get out of bed of a morning, how are they supposed to get themselves and others out of hell? Or if they can hardly string a coherent sentence together, what words are they going to offer to comfort those that have lost loved ones? When most of the world, and I include many church members, are engaged in slaking whatever lust has clawed its way to the surface of their mind, and this is the most important thing in the world to them, what about everybody else? Those things were never on the mind of God. It was us always on the mind of God. Us, the saving of our souls, the living right in this world, bringing all men everywhere to the point where they get to hear the gospel or they get to heaven. And we wonder why the world is in the state it is today. We wonder why there is a dearth of ordinary, decent family values being organized from the government, from any government. And in all honesty, democracy doesn't work because it's the needs of the majority. And if the majority has been told time and time again they're gods and anything goes, well, you don't want to go depending on them to make the right decision in the best interest of everybody because they're only interested in themselves. I think that's why they have voted in the people they have across the world, at least those that get free election. Because they don't want someone standing up and making them feel bad. They want to look at someone like Keir Starmer or Joe Biden and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like those dolphins. I'm glad I'm not a liar and a thief and a money launderer and a murderer. I'm glad the worst that I use is a bit of bad language and a few beers on a Friday night. And they say, well, anything goes, as long as it doesn't affect me. I want to tell you, friends, whenever you let go of the events that you can control, other uncontrollable events are going to come for you. It always affects. And we live in the days when sweet lies would rather be believed than a hard or even a bitter truth, where sin is countenanced, accepted, normalized, things like abortion and euthanasia, theft, lies, murders, immoralities of every stripe, and corruption at every hand. These things are normal. These are the days that we live in, friends, and I am sure we have all had our experiences of them. You need to know that in spite of the best efforts of those that hate God and his people, all that ever happens is his word is fulfilled. So bear that in mind. There is a box where sin and sinners go into in the Bible. You've just got to go and open it. We live in a world now where Judeo-Christianity is hated, persecuted, and even legislated against. The greatest sign of that, of course, is Israel, that did nothing wrong, was attacked on October the 6th or 7th last year. Not right. And the whole world was against Israel. How does that happen except for wicked people speaking to weak people who refuse to ask any questions? We live in the land where church attendance has been on the decline for the past 50 years. I can see it. And I'm only 59 coming. And it's all in the name of progress, because the world is gotten to be such a better place without people given a chance, this goodness, to get to church. Where the word of God is undermined at every turn. Even churches are the worst culprits. If you said, I'm a King James Bible-believing Christian, most of the churches in this land will look, give you the side eye. They will. Because that's a stripe across their backs when they know that using the NIV or whatever other perversion of the Bible is just leading people straight to hell or taking the power out of Christian lives. Churches are the worst for that. And there's not even a token nod in the direction of the very man that gave us the freedoms we still claim to have, but actually we don't. That's God, by the way. We are at the point, if anyone remembers our lesson on Daniel going back, I think the last week or two, when we spoke about the salvation of Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel revealed to him a dream that showed the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years, that he was going to lose his mind and behave like an animal for 7 years. But at the end of the 7 years, he'd be given his mind back. And the first thing he said was, I realized God's right and I'm wrong. And he was fully restored to his kingship. And Nebuchadnezzar never went on to do anything bad again. I think he just sat at the feet of Daniel and learned through till his dying days. We're like Nebuchadnezzar right about now, this world and the countries in it. We simply think how wonderful we are, but we don't actually realize that every single thing that we can lay our hands on is there because God allows it to be there. And whenever we have finally slammed the door in God's face, in the last place that he can get into our lives, all these things are going to be taken away. And funnily enough, that's exactly what happens if you read Revelation chapter 6 through to Revelation chapter 16. I'm reading in Judges at the moment. And Judges, ever from Moses and Joshua, and then we were reading about Gideon there not that very long ago. But Judges was a time where the people still listened to God as the man of God preached. The word of God was precious. People listened and people obeyed. But as soon as the man of God was gone, the people went about and did their own thing. And the country normally fell to rack and ruin. And then God gave them the bare bottom behind and made them good Ulster men, you know, with a big red hand of Ulster on the right cheek. That's what God did to the children of Israel. And he spanked them, and he used other kings and other countries to come in and oppress them and bring them to the point that they have nothing, not even the things that they put their faith in, that they have nothing without God. And then what did they do? Lord, please save us, we've been wrong. They repented. And God raised up a judge. And Israel got its power and its belongings back again. They humbled themselves in the sight of the Lord. And in due time, God lifted them up. That's what God used to do to Israel. But we're not talking about Israel now. We're talking about the whole world. And the whole world is busy cutting God carefully out of every single part of our lives. But did I read that in America and some of the Republican states, that's the conservative states, they're actually bringing the Ten Commandments and the reading of the Bible back into some of the school districts. And that's good to know. When this world rejects God's call at every turn, what do you think is going to happen? God is going to punish us. He is going to judge us for our wrongdoing. You can read about it, it's in the Bible, it's going to happen, everything else has, and I have 100% certainty that these things will do. But you need to know this. We started off talking about God, about the salvation and the healing that he has. We have read about the attributes of this world just doing whatever comes into their mind. That's some of God's attributes. His love constrained him to act. His love for us was so great, and our need was so great, he did something about it. His sacrifice in providing a free for us salvation that cost him everything was as a result of that love. Our salvation is a result of his work and our admitting that we're wrong and he's right. That's literally all there is to it. It is his work in forgiving us all of our sins. And he is determined that he wants to forgive people their sins. It doesn't mean that he's just going to say, "Oh, you murderers that never came to me, you're forgiven, we'll see you in heaven." God doesn't want murderers in heaven. He wants saved souls in heaven. Our hope. He gives us hope. Now, hope in the Bible is not something that might happen. It's something that is going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. He's given us the hope, the blessed hope of a home in heaven with a new and a glorified body. He has promised he's coming back. And everything points to a soon return of him. One way or another. Sadly, a lot of folks are going to meet him an awful lot quicker than they think, but God's coming back. And he has promised also an eternity in heaven, where we'll get to see all the angels that ministered to us. Some of them might even be standing like that and saying, "You know, Mark, I want a wee word with you. You kept me busy while all my mates were having tea breaks. You had me working 24/7. We'll see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in every single saved soul that's ever been saved. There is nothing like that anywhere else in the world. You'll see a shadow of it in good gospel preaching churches. But you will only have a never realized promise of it in those that don't. There's a great little verse. If you read enough of the Bible, you get the questions and you get the answers. And in Hebrews chapter 3, this is what Paul said. He said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" How are we going to escape if we ignore that and try our own way? The answer is you won't. You can't. There is no escape. There is no salvation in any other name given amongst men under heaven. I don't like to think on it because I have stood at enough funerals to do me a lifetime already. But someday, regardless of your exercise plan or your diet, or whatever medicines and vitamins and things you might take, each one of us is going to stand in front of God and give an accounting of our life on earth. Each and every one of us will stand in front of God. The saved will stand in front of him and God's going to say, "Well, what did you do with the salvation I gave you?" The lost are going to stand before the great white throne of judgment and have a list of their sins read out to them before they're fired into the lake of fire because their names are not in the Lamb's book of life. Even if a soul only ever got saved and didn't love him, they're still going to heaven. And that's good news. Because that's the way some things actually are. But for the souls that did a little bit more with God, spent time with him in this world, that's a blessing that you just can't replace with anything else. But the problem with our country and our churches, and our towns, even families, and indeed ourselves, is we're very much like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. The very first church that's mentioned. And this is what God said. You see, you look religious, you sound religious, you even put on a shirt and shiny shoes for church of the morning. But you've left your first love. You're going through the motions. You're making it look good for everybody else, but it's not helping you because you are not in touch with Jesus. You have left your first love. And that's really that. We need to understand that we've been saved to heaven, but we also need to remember what we've been saved from and to be grateful for that. And point other people to the same place. In fact, Jesus, the last thing Jesus said was go and preach the gospel to every creature. And throughout his ministry he said, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And there was even one that says, and whenever you do, people will marvel. It is the power of God that will heal, that will save. It is only the power of God that can save you and heal the wounds that the world inflicts upon you. Yep, it might leave a scar, but God will take the pain away. Only Jesus saves. And whenever it makes you better, and you understand exactly what God has done for you, think, you know what? I'm not going to be a Secret Service Christian. This helped me so much, I'm going to tell my friends. Other people will find out. And when they see you honoring and serving the God that died for your sins, they get an opportunity to be saved, to be healed as well. And if enough people in this town got saved, could you imagine the difference that it would make? Could you imagine if Northern Ireland was completely saved? The locksmiths would go out of business. The prisons could probably shut down in a year or two. The police force, their biggest worry of the day would be keeping the coffee hot and who did the freshest donuts. We wouldn't be worried about cars being hijacked or people being shot or beaten up or anything like that. It would be a slice of heaven on earth. Whether you get it in the town or whether you have it in your family or just in the quiet times, whenever it's you and God in your bed and in His Word, only Jesus saves, and only Jesus has the power to heal you and provision you. So throw your lot in with Him. I know we will never see a country like that until the Lord comes back and rules and reigns from Jerusalem. And even though He will, and everybody will get a fair shake, there will still be people that aren't happy, because people will still be thinking in their heads that they want to be God. But there is one God. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. And that invitation is open to anybody. And all you have to do is take the hand that's reached out to you, and He will see you right now and forever. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're going to sing a closing hymn, but I haven't one picked. Does anybody have one that they would like for us to sing? From either book, and 4 in the wee black book, if you'd like to take and turn there. Holy, holy, holy. Let's stand as we sing. Holy, 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 number 4 in the black book.
Oh.
time and attention, and God bless you as we head home. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll finish with a wee word of prayer. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a little aside from the hustle and bustle in the world and all the fuss and cares of it. We pray you, Lord, for your guidance and direction as we part company and safety, Lord, as we get home. Help us, Lord, in every reading of your word and singing of your praises, Lord, to be acceptable in your sight and to be a help to us in this world. Thank you for all that you've done for us and continue to do for us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would not be done with us. Continue to work in our lives, continue in the soul-saving business. We love you and thank you, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen, folks. We are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.